Thank you all for being here. It is good to be together. Welcome. Here we are, and God is good. I want to tell you guys a little story. So I've been a pastor for a little over 5 years. And when I first started, I was double timing it. I was bivocational, so I was teaching full time at Bowie High School as a science teacher. And then I had been ordained as a pastor and was doing that part time. And that was really full and busy and pretty maxed out. My poor wife, you know, a lot fell on her. And then I became full-time, which was pretty amazing. So I really appreciate you guys supporting me in that financially, spiritually, emotionally. I was full-time pastor. And I remember one time, it's very different. It's very different than it was before. And I went for a walk, a prayer walk, and I was praying, and I was thinking through my day. And I was thinking, you know, if I was my own boss today, based on how much I got done, I would fire myself. And I was like, I was kind of frustrated with that. Just like, I'm not doing enough. I don't know if I'm earning my keep. I don't know if I'm worth what I'm getting paid. I was kind of struggling through this, and I shared this at small group. And a gal in our small group said to me, "How long have you been performance-oriented?" I'm just like, I don't really think it was a question. I tried to answer the question. I was like, I don't know. I suppose as soon as I went to school and tried to start getting good grades, and then I worked for my uncle, who I could never please, even though I sure came home exhausted. And I don't know. But the point was, you have this performance orientation. There's something in your life, Dove, that makes you get your sense of worth from your performance, from how well you do, or if you earn your money, or if you did enough work, and I'm getting a sense of value from that. And her question really stung me. It's like, oh, wow, I'm grace-oriented. I ain't performance-oriented. What kind of legalistic church do you think I go to? But then it also, my initial response was like, you're right. What am I doing being a pastor? Like, certainly John, there's got to be a John around here that could be a pastor. For those of you that don't know, we have a lot of Johns, and they're all wonderful people. And so, it's like, what do I do with that? And I feel like God is continuing to grow me in that and push on me and stretch me and build me up. And I don't share that so that you guys will be like frightened that your pastor's got a bunch of challenges. I don't share that so you'll feel sorry for me or even try to fix me. I share that just as an example that I think we're each a work in progress. And that God is still taking us forward and doing things in our lives. And I share that even in just a way to think, like, what do I do with that? What's the right place to go from that? What I was hoping is somebody would be like, you're right. How many hours did you work that day? You better put in some more hours. Like, can't you do some more prayer? Can't you do more hours of something? And instead, just that redirection. Instead of, we need to work harder, we need to be more perfect, there's a totally different place that God, I think, is calling us into to have us grow and continue to walk with Him. And I want to share a little bit about that this morning. I really like this quote. I was reading a little bit about spiritual warfare, and I don't know why this stuck out, but this person said, "Humility, which is reverence for the truth about ourselves, teaches us that we grow and develop slowly, that we do have setbacks, and that we live in a world that is hard and far from perfect, being humble and recognizing these things helps us to lean more on the Lord and to trust in His providential help, which grows in us incrementally. The place that says, man, I need to buck up and I need to get better and I need to improve and strengthen and become perfect is actually a place of pride. It's actually a place of self-focus. And the place of humility is very different. Humility, which is reverence for the truth about ourselves, teaches us that we grow and develop slowly, that we do have setbacks, and that we live in a world that is hard and far from perfect. Being humble and recognizing these things helps us to lean more on the Lord and to trust in His providential help, which grows in us incrementally. I hope that connects with you guys today. I want to talk about this today as we look through Colossians. We are doing a series for 4 weeks looking at our relationship with God. And Steve and I have put together, along with people who have put in verses, thank you, a booklet. I recommend grab one. You can download them online, or there's some on the literature table. God is awesome. And so we're going from this indirect approach. Rather than saying, here's what you need to do to start loving God more, we're saying indirectly, let's not even go there. What do I need to do? Let's go to a different place where we say, let's just focus on God. If we really saw how awesome God was, we would fall in love with Him. We wouldn't have to muster up some kind of new love. If we really saw God in His magnificence, we would all just fall in love. And yet we grow incrementally in that. And so I just want to encourage you guys, use that as you like. I hope there's some of those verses in there that really just hit you and just draw you in towards this magnificent God that we have who cares for us. I felt that sense this morning as we worshiped, just calling us out of my own self-focus onto God. And so let's pray. And God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you for your just supreme magnificence. I acknowledge that you are God. I am not. You are my help. You are everything I need. You are my source. You are my hope. Teach us this morning. I give you my heart. I ask that you would soften it to you, that you would lead me in the places that you want to take me. Thank you for this journey that we get to go on with you. Thank you, Jesus, for your death, which opened a door, which paid a debt, which made it possible for me to be with you. Thank you. I receive your love today. I receive your blessings. I receive your strength and your mercy. I receive your goodness, your hope. Please lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to look at a short section today. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I want to offer for you guys, it's on your handout. There's an ancient practice people have been practicing for a long time, a way to read the Bible. And I just want to pass it on. If it's of value to you, try it out, even as you read through some of these verses. So we're going to go through four steps. The first is to read it. We're going to read it and read it a couple times, and then we're going to reflect on it. We're going to meditate on it. We're just going to kind of chew on the parts of it and reflect on it, allow it into us as we reflect. And then the third part is we're going to respond to that. And so I want to invite you guys into that today. As we read through this, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to just model that, but also just hopefully we can connect with that. and respond to God as we're reading through this. And I want to encourage you guys where you're at, as much as you can, I know there's plenty of distractions, to respond in your own heart to God, to respond to Him. And then the last is just to rest, just to stop. And I really appreciate that line of just, your love is enough. And just sit in His love and be like, you know what? Everything's okay. In your love, everything is enough. And so I'm going to invite you guys at the end to come and do and enjoy communion and to acknowledge and rest in and receive the love of Christ in that experiential way. And so we're going to rest in that way. So let's go through this. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. This word walk. When we think of this word walk, as you received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. The word walk shows that this is not a static thing. This is a dynamic relationship. This is a dynamic, changing, moving relationship. The word walk speaks of progress, of going forward. We're moving forward. That path with Christ is this like little seed that grows and grows and develops. And we have an opportunity to walk with God, to walk with Him. Maybe that's hand in hand. Maybe sometimes that's piggyback ride. Maybe sometimes that's up a steep hill. Sometimes that is through some very low valleys. And also, it doesn't say just walk with Him. It says we walk in Him. As we receive Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in Him. In Him. In His love. In His presence. In His joy. We walk in Him. A lot of times some of the other translations, they translate walk as live a life. Like where in Ephesians 5 where it says, live a life of love. The actual word is walk in love. Live a life in Jesus. That draws my heart in. Jesus, I want to walk with You. I want to walk wherever You take me. Just like Your disciples, they left everything and said, I'll go with You. I want to walk where You go. I want to know You and walk in You and with You. At the start it says, as you received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. As in the same similar way that you came to Christ, that's the way you continue. How did I come to Christ? Well, I responded. He was the initiator and I responded. It wasn't my idea. He put a desire in me for Him. And so in the same way as He gives us desires, as He calls us, as He initiates, may we continue to respond. May we continue to be captivated by what He calls us to. As I received Christ in humility, bringing nothing to the table. Realizing a hunger, realizing a need, realizing that He had something I wanted. In the same way that we came in that place of need, in humility and hunger, may we continue to walk in Christ. May we continue to walk with him, realizing that he's the provider, realizing that he's the one that loves. He's the initiator. He's the source. It continues on. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in him. I love that picture of roots. Rooted in Christ. A tree, these mighty roots. Most trees, as big as you see the canopy, that's how big the root system is underground. These massive roots going down, seeking water, seeking nutrients, seeking strength to hold up the entire tree. May we be rooted in Christ, growing down deep, deep, deep into his love, receiving our nutrition from him, our nourishment, our love that he provides, rooted in him and built up in him, built up in a sense of belonging, built up that we belong to him. That he wants us, that he calls us in, that he invites us to be a part of something bigger, that he wants us to bring our gifts and our talents, to bring who we are, that he builds us up, that we could be strong, that we could bring something, that he builds us up in our identity, that we would know where our true worth comes from. That our true worth doesn't come from how many hours of work we put in, how much we accomplish, how we look to others. That our true worth comes from his call. He says, I love you. I bought you. You're mine. You have worth. Doesn't matter. It's a foundation, and from that we can build our own purposes and walk in our own like physical identities here. But having that foundation as he builds us up and says, I love you. That's who you are. Who you are is mine. Who you are is a child of the King. Who you are is a beloved daughter. Who you are is a beloved son. Regardless of where you go or what you do, that is who you are. He builds us up, building us up in him, in Christ, that he is our identity. That he is who we are. And we grow through that love that we never deserve. We never earn it. We never get to a place where it's like, now I've done a good job. Now I'm worth love. We just, from a place that he loves us, because he's love. Jesus, I want to be rooted in you. I want my roots to go down deep into you. That my significance would come from you and you alone, not from what people think of me, not from how successful I think I am, not from my possessions, not from how I come across to this world or my strength. May my roots be down deep in you. God, grow us to know you, to know your love, that we would be built up in your love, strengthened in your love, nourished in the roots that truly find living water. In Jesus' name. Amen. It says that we would be established in the faith. To be established in the faith. This place of strength. Established. This place of a foundation of faith. And you know, some of the ways that God establishes our faith is by testing it. And some of those ways are through some really dark and some really lonely times. And as I think of those, there's something in my heart that's resistant. It says, can't you just strengthen my faith without going through those hard things? How about you refine my faith like gold? Without any fire. Isn't there a way to refine gold without heat? That would be nice. There's something in me that doesn't want that. It doesn't want the faith to be established at the cost of pain. And yet there's another part of me that says that gold is more valuable than any. No cost compared to the pain. And the amazing thing is that as I have gone through my own challenges, I have seen more and more that God is faithful. God is faithful. God walks with us through all of those things. He never leaves us. He might have to carry us sometimes, but He walks with us, and He's always there in the middle of those. And He is able to strengthen our faith and not let it get crushed by the accusations from others, by the losses and pains, by the confusion and uncertainty. He's able to strengthen us. God, I ask that You would. I ask that You would establish our faith. I give You my heart. I want to be established in a knowing You, in knowing that I know You. And not just a trite little faith like I've often had, but in a solid faith that sees You as God. Yeah, I pray that You would draw us in, give us soft hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. It says that on this walk with God, that we would go abounding in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is actually a really fun place to be. And there's sometimes in life when the thanksgiving just wells up like this mighty spring. And it's a time of great joy. I would trust you've all had at times like that, where it's just like, you just can't stop. Just like, thank You, God. Thank You. Just this spring of thankfulness. You have blessed me. You are so good. I can't do anything but thank You. If You never gave me another good thing ever in my life, what You've given me is already enough. And then there's other times when you got to pump that baby. That spring is not flowing. There's times when there's pain in the offering. There's times when to find that thankfulness and draw it out requires work. But in my life, I've found that it brings joy still. It still brings joy to pull out that thankfulness. Thank You, God. I will hunt for that thankfulness. In the middle of this dark forest, there's something to be thankful for. I'm going to find that and have that joy there. Tonight before I go to bed, perhaps, I will remember what I'm thankful for. As a gift from You, the great giver. And for me, the obstacle to thanksgiving is expectation. Well, I'm not thankful because, well, I expected a lot more. Or I can't stop and be thankful because there's a lot more expectations on me. It wouldn't be right for me just to stop and be thankful. I got responsibilities. I got things to do. And those expectations sometimes, even that I place on others, myself, on God, can hinder that thanksgiving. At the end of the day, it's all a gift. What does God owe me? I don't know. I've tried to give Him a couple IOUs. God, You owe... But it's never really founded. I don't know. It's all a gift. And in that place of thanksgiving, our walk with God really is just full of joy. God, I respond in that place. I give You my heart. I set aside those expectations that I have on You, that I have on others, that I have on myself. And I appreciate this day. I appreciate this breath. I appreciate that I'm alive today, that there's people that love me, that You care for me, that you work life for my good, that you are here with me. I appreciate the people who turned on the heat and found the handouts and helped set up communion. And I appreciate my 10-year-old daughter who's really helpful with kids. I appreciate that we had food to eat this morning and beds to sleep in. I appreciate the opportunities that I have to learn and grow and to share love and to bring what you put in my heart to others. I appreciate that you are consistently faithful, so kind to me. I give you just a heart to be grateful, to see those things and to dwell on those things. In Jesus' name, amen. I put a couple other verses on your paper just about walking with God. That one is from Colossians, but that idea of living this life, of walking humbly before God, of walking in a way that honors Him, in a way that's, like in Colossians, that one it says that we are increasing in a knowledge of God. We're all growing to know God more and more. And I hope at the end of this year you will know God and love Him even more than you do now. I hope that you walk with Him and appreciate that walk. And when you stumble, will you let Him pick you up? Keep walking with you? Maybe He has to carry you for a little bit. But may we walk with God and appreciate that. I love this journey. I love that He's so gentle and patient in it. I love that He draws us in there. It's not finished. It's not over. In Colossians, it goes on to some of these things that pull us away from Christ. Like just falling into these worldly philosophies, this self-help kind of thing. Falling into this really rigid practice. If I can just punish myself enough, if I can just get all my discipline right, I could be with God. Or if I could just understand the angels, then I could be with God. He's just saying, no, there's a path for you right here. Right through Christ. To walk with God and know Him. It's not our knowledge. It's not our methods. It's not our spirituality or knowledge of angels. It's not our rigid self-discipline. It's not our pursuit of perfection. But it's our walk with God. That's our strength. And it's a gift from Jesus to walk with Him. It's an invitation. And our connection to Him is the source that brings life. In light of that, and just kind of in an attitude of rest, I'm going to invite you guys up to do communion. And this is a time to really rest in Christ. It's His body that was broken for us. It's a time to lay aside our striving, lay aside our guilt, lay aside whatever would come before us and God. And it's a time to receive His strength, to receive His gift, to receive His sacrifice for us, to receive that and remember that and acknowledge Him, and to receive His blood, which is a new covenant. Not a covenant of you, if you do this, I'll do this. It's a covenant of if you come, if you believe, I will give you freedom. I will give you forgiveness. And it's also a washing in His blood. It's a remembrance of that our sins have been washed away. And just to receive that afresh and enjoy that. He's washed away our sins. He's washed away anything that would get in between us. I'm going to pray and then we'll... Thank you, God. Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice for us. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you, Jesus, that my worth, my judgment is not based on my perfection, but on your gift. I receive your gift, Jesus. I receive your gift of new life. I receive your gift of forgiveness. I receive your gift of righteousness. I receive your gift of knowledge and relationship with God. I receive your gift of newness and love. Thank you that we get to walk with you. We continue to walk with you and pursue you, to respond in the ways that you've initiated. We love you. Grow in us a hunger for you. In Jesus' name, amen.